Well, it's good to be here with you again this morning, 2 weeks in a row. Wow. This is great. I'm always appreciative of the people that are involved in the worship team and Andrew as he prepares for Sunday. I was really blessed today with the music that you chose, and that hymn, Holy, 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 is probably right up there, the favorite hymns. So appreciate that, and appreciate the worship team. They do such a great job. You got a lot of talented people to back you up. That's a good thing. And Gavin, appreciate him sharing. I appreciate churches that give people the opportunity to share their talents, because I think it becomes a springboard sometimes for some greater things in people's lives. And I appreciate when churches do that. You know, sometimes it's not always those opportunities there, but I'm thankful for that. Well, this morning we're going to be in John chapter 13, verses 1 through 17. I'm going to be sharing. So you want to be turning over there in your Bibles to John chapter 13. And really the title of my sermon this morning is Living Large. And I'll be expanding on that, but kind of giving you an understanding of where we're going this morning. But John chapter 13, verses 1 through 17. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already been put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Jesus, knowing that the Father had given him all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from the supper. He laid aside his outer garments, taking the towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? Jesus answered him, what I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, if I do not wash your feet, you have no share with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, the one who has bathed does not need to wash except his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you. For he knew who was to betray him, and that was why he said, not all of you are clean. When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so am I. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do just as I have done to you. Truly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is the messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Let's just bow our heads in prayer for just a moment. God, I just pray this morning that you take your word to touch all of our lives, Lord, and speak to us through the power of your Holy Spirit, to the areas in our life, even the hidden parts in our life that you desire to reveal today, to bring us where we need to be in our faith walk with you, in our mission, in our kingdom place in the world. And just bless this time together in Jesus' name. Amen. Living large. I was sharing this with Andrew this morning as we were getting together talking about hymns. And there's a book that I picked up at Goodwill. I pick up a lot of good books at Goodwill, but this is a great book, and I encourage you, if you get into books, that's called The Great Christian Hymn Writers. But I've been using this and the hymnal that I have, and just kind of as I get into the Bible and stuff, the first thing I read is about these hymn writers. And it's kind of like a pill that I need sometimes, because I don't know about you, but I have those days when I'm on the verge of having a big pity party for myself. Maybe where I'm at, things that are going on in my life, or just having one of those down days, and I'm just kind of having a pity party. But then I read this about the great hymn writers, and I'm telling you, I think every one of these people challenges me because of where they were at in their life and things going on in their life and the things that they dealt with, chronic illnesses, just the struggles of ministry, and just things going on in their life, the relationship, some of them going through what back then they called melancholy, and the struggles that they had in their lives. And yet they out of that came great and wonderful hymns that God used. Not only that, they were involved in ministry, and they continued to serve the Lord regardless. And every time I would read that, I'd say, Lord, I need to repent because, you know, I'm not where I need to be, and I need to be living the kind of life that is willing to sacrifice and to serve irregardless of where my life is. And so I challenge you, if you get a chance, this book is still in print, so The Great Christian Hymn Writers, and it's amazing. But these people were living large for the kingdom of God. Well, we're going to look at this morning and see what God has for us this morning in His Word in John chapter 13. But, you know, that God calls us to have a kingdom vision. Sometimes our world, you know, people have a vision of life and desire what they want based on their wants and their desires. But if we claim Christ, we're about the kingdom work and what God desires to do in our life. When we're saved, when Jesus comes into our heart and life, our life changes. And God provides for us a transformed heart, a transformed life. And when Jesus died on the cross for us, He provided us the opportunity to have the kind of life that could serve Him. We've been washed clean. When Jesus died on the cross for sinners, He made us holy. He made us holy and blameless. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14, it tells us that the blood of Christ, who offered Himself without blemish to God, He cleanses us to serve the living God. If you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, you've been made ready to serve the Lord. The Apostle Peter in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 talks about God's provision for our life to be able to serve. He says that God's divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. So we've been equipped to be able to serve the Lord. And God does it through the power of His Holy Spirit. So as we begin today and we walk through these scriptures, I want us to see, first of all, what I believe is the greatest barrier to living large for the Lord. We can see this barrier in Jesus' encounter with Peter in John chapter 13, verses 5 and 6 and verse 8. It says that Jesus poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with a towel with which He was girded. See, God was, through Christ, was showing His disciples what it means to be a servant, the way of God's kingdom work. And it's not how much authority people have or how much power. It's not about the greatness of a person, but it's about the foundation of being a servant of others. And Jesus' actions here in this text exemplify the ways of God. And this is really how things are going to work in the kingdom of God. Yet, it's Peter's response, at least his first response, we see one of the greatest barriers to the ways of God. Peter says to Jesus, Lord, do You wash my feet? Then in verse 8, Peter becomes even more overly belligerent about Jesus' behavior. He says, never shall you wa- my feet. See, Peter struggled with this whole thing of what Jesus' purpose is and what he desired to accomplish in the lives of his disciples. And so Peter says, never. This should kind of like hit home with us, because I don't want to, maybe you don't want to admit it, but sometimes the greatest barrier for us being a part of what God desires to do is that we just don't want to do it. We don't want to step out of our comfort zone. We don't want to take the time and the sacrifice. We know it's going to sometimes create a sacrifice in our life to serve the Lord. And so when we're confronted with the ways of God and the principles of kingdom work, we balk. And we'd sometimes do it so effortlessly. I think sometimes it's that willfulness oftentimes that robs the church and our lives from its greatest fruitfulness. See, what we need to understand is our comfort and security is not God's greatest priority for us. It's not God's greatest priority. Living out the story of the gospel means moving beyond the inner voice that keeps saying, but I don't want to. And over we defer over to what is comfortable. And we don't want to move out of our comfort zone. It might mean crossing the street to a neighbor's house, a workplace, talking to someone in our workplace that we normally don't talk to, or maybe someone at school. We always have our tables and our friends and stuff, but sometimes God calls us to do something different for his kingdom. And I want to say this, most of all, begins with the relationships that are closest to us. I say before, sometimes we move out to the world, we need to make sure that the kingdom's being lifed out in our homes. And that's where it starts. But it always moves us out of our comfort zone. Sometimes we have to sacrifice. I don't know, I'm reminded of that. I was thinking as I was going over my sermon, I was reminded of someone who actually lived large for me. I was in Walmart, and I don't know if you, those places that they have things locked up in, and you're supposed to press the button. Well, I was trying to get some medicine for our pets, flea and tick, and it's, this stuff's in a little box, and it's very expensive. And so they, at Walmart, they have it behind this glass case. And so I press the button, and of course, someone immediately rushes to my assistance. No, that's not what happened. I kept pressing the button over and over again, and no one came. So finally, I saw someone in one of those blue vests. It was a lady walking down there, and I said, hey, can you help me? And the first thing she said, well, I'm on my lunch break, or starting my lunch break. But then there was something, the word that she said, but, says, I'll go and see what I can do to help you. So she took several minutes to track down the manager of the store, who finally came with a set of keys, and I think he went through every key to get that cabinet opened up. But the ladies just stood there, and I'm thinking, wow, she took her lunch break to help me. Today, I still see that lady in the Walmart in O'Fallon, and I'm reminded, I think, this lady's great. If I ever came into a lot of money, I think I'd help her, just surprise her, you know, because it was such a wonderful, remarkable, surprising thing. Folks, we can surprise people with Holy Spirit-directed ministry that sometimes brings us out of our comfort zone to help people. God calls us to that. You may be asked to bait a hook, put a fishing pole in your hand. It may be a dish towel. Maybe you need to go on a date with your wife. Do a task you normally don't do. Living our faith means serving others as God leads. And I think when the church begins to do that more and more, you see the explosion of the gospel, the power of God in the lives of people. But there's something else that we see in Jesus' example found in the text, and it's this, the simplicity of living large. Now listen, I'm not saying that serving is easy. But sometimes the tools that God uses are simple. John tells us in verse 5 that Jesus poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Now notice the simple objects here that Jesus used to serve the disciples. What was it? Is water, a basin or a bowl, and a towel. Now these are, what, everyday things, right? You have all those things, and they became tools of instruments of ministry. See, true meaningful ministry is not always about high-tech stuff and having a lot of money and being able to do all kinds of stuff. Ministry begins with the simple things of life, the using what God has set right before us. I think that most of us have had memorable moments in our life when someone did something for us that either put a smile on our face or encouraged our heart, and it wasn't some expensive thing. It wasn't some high-tech thing. It was something that you simply did for someone, an act of love. The greatest ingredient is even more personal than we think. Jesus used his body to serve. We can't get away with that. We can't be at arm's length with people. We have to be willing to step and use our body, the body that God's given to us, our ability, our strength, whatever that is. It doesn't matter who we are. You could be a senior adult. You could be a middle-aged. You could be a young person getting started on the job. You can be someone in elementary school, middle school, high school, whatever. God can use all of us for his kingdom, and it's always very personal. That's what makes it so memorable, so powerful. And it's a calling that every single one of us are called to fulfill. You don't have to have a title. You don't have to have whatever they put behind people's names. We always have to mention that when someone gets up to speak, whatever their titles are. You don't have to have a title to be able to serve the Lord. You can be a kid, a teenager, adult, a senior adult. We're called to have the capacity to live large. Look at the words that we find in Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. Just turn over there quickly in your Bibles. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. This powerful, powerful passage here. Paul writes, therefore, if there's any encouragement in Christ, if there's any consolation of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfish, empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest. Not that we don't have personal interest, we do. But also look out for the interests of others. And have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Be found in the appearance of man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. See, the inescapable thing that we can't escape from Scripture is that the one that we follow went to a cross. God stepped out of heaven. The God, Jesus Christ, stepped out of heaven, went to a cross to serve us. That is our example. And Jesus didn't die just for anyone. He died for every messed up person that's ever walked the face of the earth. Not cleaned up people, not nice people, but everyone. So the inescapable reality that we can't escape as believers is that is our calling, because Jesus calls us to that. See, Jesus didn't flinch at making the world's greatest treasure and the greatest victory very personal. The ingredients were very basic for what Christ did. Jesus was nailed to a wooden cross, and he gave himself as a servant for us. We don't merely look out for our own personal interests, but also the interests of others. That's the attitude of Jesus. So the instruments of service require our participation. A rake, a hoe, a shovel, a steering wheel, a dish towel. It's limitless what God desires us to use for his glory. But the most personal investment is always you. But I think the most important thing we need to see from this passage is the potential of living large. Verses 12 through 14. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and reclined at the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for I am so. If I then, your Lord and teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you should do as I did to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, nor is one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." Jesus gave his disciples an example of both what service looks like. Example. He modeled it. He showed them. And he showed the attitude of service, humility, and grace. I think we all have the potential of living large, every single one of us. I don't want you to leave here today and say, "Oh, I can't do that." No, you have great potential for serving the Lord and giving glory to him and honoring him. A quote that I had recently come across, and got to find it here in all my notes. I was reading a book and this quote stuck out to me. It says, "One way we know our faith is real is by seeing our affections transfer from self to Jesus." You know, self can be a big thing, and it's promoted all the time, you know. I think about that every time. Well, I'm going to take a selfie, you know. Life isn't about selfies, at least for us as believers. It's about serving the Lord, honoring him. Following Jesus has the potential to bless others. And just it's such a memorable, wonderful way. Someone once said that the obstacles that we face give us the opportunity to reveal the glory of God. Now, maybe we're not going to have obstacles every day, but there's going to be obstacles out there. There's going to be opportunities to serve. They're all around us. And we need to be praying, "God, help me to be sensitive today to what's going on around me." Sometimes there's big things. I mean, just heard this morning, because I was a pastor in Ellsbury, that Ellsbury was inundated, and the lower part of Ellsbury was flooded. The gas stations, everything flooded. 9 to 10 inches of rain. And so people are going to be having to be serving. Churches have opened up their buildings for people to have a place to stay. It's a state of emergency. And it's an opportunity for believers to serve, but it's not easy. And it's sometimes not even easy to open up your doors. But God calls us to that, to be able to live out that and continue to bear the fruit of salvation. Jesus said in John chapter 12, verse 24, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." And so, for us to bear the fruit of salvation and to bear much fruit means us being like a seed that dies and is willing to be buried and planted so that we can bear much fruit. Jesus showed us that. That was the example of his life. We have that same potential when our willingness to plant ourselves in service for the sake of people. We are part of the potential of a fruitful harvest. Again, in John chapter 15, verse 5, Jesus expounded on the potential of following him when he says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." So with that whole idea, is it's not just about us doing something and saying, I need to do something. No, it's doing it in the power of the Holy Spirit. Not in our might, but in the power of God. God gives us the ability to do that. Service is our calling. And our greatest example is the one that we follow. Mahatma Gandhi was once asked by Christian missionaries how they could be successful in making a mark in India. Now, Gandhi wasn't a Christian, but it seemed that he kind of understood what Christians were supposed to be all about. And so he gave them his answer. He said, "First, you must begin to live more like Jesus." Need to live like Jesus. "Secondly, practice your religion without adulterating it or toning it down. Practice it as it is." That's the thing we do sometimes. It's like, you know, Christianity, really, when you get down to it, is pretty radical, isn't it? It tells us, I mean, some of those verses where, you know, it says, you know, that bless others, you know, your enemies and stuff, and you just want to get revenge. It's radical. Christianity is radical. So God, he knew that. And then thirdly, he says, "I suggest that you emphasize love and make it your working force, for love is central to Christianity." We have a calling. Even the world knows that. They do. Your kids know that. The people around, your neighbors know that if they know that you're a believer. And Jesus has given us the example. The question is, are we going to follow? As we think about closing out the service today, one of the things I hope that we'll think about is, think about the people that are around us that have been a blessing to us and continue to be a blessing to you. Are you thankful for them? Are you encouraging them? It takes some thought sometimes to encourage the people that are around us and to say, "Hey, I'm thankful for you." You ever write them a card or do something to encourage them? My wife is a saint. I mean, I say that, and I don't hesitate in saying that. She has done some stuff for me recently that has been amazing. Taking my sister, I'll just readily admit, my sister's a handful, my younger sister. But I'm telling you, my wife has taken weeks and getting paperwork together for my sister to be on Medicaid and all the other things. And been with me when we were cleaning out her mobile home. And just over and over. Yesterday I was thinking, and I knew something with why. So I bought her a bouquet of flowers and I was at Trader Joe's. And I saw this big block of chocolate, you know, dark chocolate. And I know the dark chocolate is good for you. So I just wanted to bless her. But see, that's the thing is, are you blessing the people around you, our brothers and sisters in Christ? You know, you guys got a great church. You got people that are willing to serve. Are you encouraging one another? Are you building unity within the body? Are you continuing to bless and strengthen the body of Christ? When there's a need for reconciliation, are you finding that reconciliation? Because that sometimes gets in the way. Spirit of thankfulness, gratefulness. But maybe you're here today and, you know, you're thinking about, well, my heart isn't even there. And maybe today you realize that you just need Jesus in your life. Heart, you need transformation. You need God to make you into that holy, blameless vessel that only Christ can do. And giving your heart and life to Him. You cannot do this. And you're not about making the changes that are necessary to be not only ready to serve here, but ready to be a part of what the kingdom that's coming, and maybe soon. So the question is, are you ready? Do you have a Jesus heart? Only Christ can give that to you. And maybe, you know, today that you're thinking, there's some things I need to do. Maybe, first of all, you need to repent for all the no's that you said, but also maybe just stuff that you need to do in your own home right now. A spirit of encouragement and thankfulness. If you're a young person, what are you doing to bless your parents? And parents, what are you doing to bless your kids? Because they need encouragement too. It begins at home. I was talking about the hymn writers. There was one that I was kind of just stuck out in my mind. She got a couple of hymns in the hymnal that I have here. Her name was Mary Lathbury. And she was, as they spoke about her in the book, they talked that she was a person of great Christian character and charm and willingness to sacrifice. But she started clubs, and it was called the Lookup Clubs. And it says the Lookup Clubs, because of that, thousands of young boys and girls came to Christ through these clubs. And they had a motto. They had, a rule for their club, and this was it. And I think that I thought, man, I need this motto for my own life, because this was the motto: look up and not down, look forward and not back, look out and not in, and lend a hand in Jesus' name. I thought about those, and every single one of those, you know what? They're scriptural. Look up, look forward, look out, and lend a hand in Jesus' name. May that be on our heart. So today, as we have a time of invitation, maybe God's dealing with you in a special way in your heart and life, and maybe you would just want someone to pray with. I'll be at the front and pray with you. But maybe God's dealing with you with a heart connection with Him, and you need Jesus in your heart and life. So as Andrew comes and he leads us in our worship hymn, our invitation hymn, it is time for us to just deal with stuff in our own heart and life. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before You during this time, Lord, I just pray, God, that we can allow Your Holy Spirit to work in our life, that we would be encouraged, Lord, to be followers of You in every area of our life. And I pray for those that are still struggling with the issue of not only You Savior, but Lordship in Your life, in their lives, Lord. And I pray that, God, that they would give their heart and life to you and make that decision so that they could actually serve you as a changed person. Lord, help us to be people that are grateful and thankful and encouraging. Lord, use us to build up your church and honor you and love the people around us. And I pray this in Jesus' name.